B-Pod Studios.
To understand it.
Yeah, I so understand what you mean.
So they can use it as, what? You're paying how much?
Yeah.
You're gone for 6 hours? You know, all of that stuff. Because it's tough on the other one if you're golfing, you know? Like, it's a six-hour day. Easy.
Yeah, my buddy told me, he goes, your wife should always know you with golf. Like, you don't...
Don't introduce it late.
Yeah, don't, like, right. If all of a sudden you start golfing, that's, yeah, I'm gone half the day.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much.
And when did you start golfing?
When I was like 13 or 14.
Oh, okay. You started, okay.
I've always, yeah.
Yeah, I've always...
I started like senior year of college.
Yeah, okay. So we've all brought it into our marriages, yeah.
No, I brought my marriage into golf.
listen to you.
In all honesty, speaking in chronological order, like, I golfed before I was, like, ever in a serious relationship, so
yeah.
I always golfed, right?
Yeah.
But not that I was ever good at golf, maybe even or relationships. I don't know. Ask my wife. But nonetheless, there are those things in relationships that you have no idea. Like, the other person's into it.
Yeah.
And you have no idea how much it costs.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, when my wife and I, when we got married and we combined the finances and all that mm-hmm. stuff, you know, she makes her own money. She makes a great living, yeah. right? So, like, you spend your money. I'm not going to tell you to spend
your
money.
Yeah, I have no idea what my wife's, like, yoga memberships cost. I know it's not... Like,
what is yoga?
I know it's not particularly cheap, but it's not golf pricing either, but I don't care.
But there's also, like, the little things that they might, like, a hobby they might have. Where,
yeah.
Like my wife, when she, like, it's not a hobby, like, when she gets her hair done, I don't know how much that costs. And she's got
a lot of money, Mark.
Probably
$250 to $300.
Yeah, but she also doesn't want to see if I get invited to play golf and it's like $150.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I got two meals out of it. You know what I mean? Like, those are things that you try to have a conversation because you're trying to be somewhat fiscally responsible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what are those, like, it could be something small, it could be something huge. Like, what is it that your significant other pays for, and you got no clue, and you don't even want to know.
Yeah.
And it could be getting the hair did. You know what I'm saying?
That is not cheap. I cringe every time she goes to the salon.
So you know what it costs.
Yeah.
See, I never ask. I'm not that guy.
Do you know what women's jeans cost?
Yeah, I guess
so. Oh, my God. These aren't Levi's.
I will say this. When we started, when we had Lil Tuts, right? And Amazon packages started showing up like five at a time every day. I said, hey, babe, let's have a conversation here. What are we buying?
What are we purchasing?
Exactly. Let's just have a conversation. That's all I'm saying. All right. And so, because my wife's like, oh my God, we need it. And I'm like, yeah, but do we need it right now? Like, what is, like, she's the type of
one
buy.
It's one by click away, Mark.
Yeah, see.
You freak. I knew it.
I don't question because I guess deep down it justifies what I do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So I won't question if packages come or if hair... I never, ever, and I not once in all the years have I said, oh, what is that? What are you doing? What is that called? Or, no, don't do that. I've never, ever been that person. Not because I'm a good guy so much. It's probably because... Well, then
selfish.
Don't question. Yeah, yeah, then don't question me when I go out and golf or when, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah, I understand the give and take and all that.
But I don't have one. Like... I don't. It's a great question. I brought up on the break. I brought up the hair situation.
Yes,
like,
yes, yes.
You know, they just opened and Donna went the other day to get her, you know, what do they color it and cut it or whatever they do.
Yes.
I know that was a lot of money. And I know she probably wanted to tell me because she did come home and say, God, I just can't believe how much it costs. And I say, okay. And I walk away. Like, I don't care and I don't want to know, but
Donna doesn't color. She's natural. She's great like that.
She colors it
youthful.
Yeah, right. She colors it to make her look older because she looks so young.
Exactly. She wants that respect in like a working environment.
Yeah, she's like, she wants to look my age.
Yes,
exactly. She's trying to. Yeah.
Exactly. But what are those things that you have no idea? Like,
that's a great question.
You don't even want to know. We'll bat that around. We'll make sure we get Pat Egan's right before his next update. Because, man,
he's an idiot.
His was just right on point. I mean, he's not wrong. I don't know how much those things cost.
He's so wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
That's a necessity.
I'm not saying it's not a necessity.
Golf's not a necessity. Getting your hair done is a necessity. What Egan brought up is not a necessity.
No, I'm not debating that, but I don't have I have no idea how much that costs.
But it's like the NFL. Is it an essential business? I mean, golf is essential to me, you know? Right. Like, I enjoy those 6 hours I get out every once in a while.
You enjoyed yesterday? Because the words coming out of your mouth made it seem like you weren't enjoying it all.
I enjoyed some of the shots.
I swear to God, you were one of the funnest people to golf
you
with.
You are a good time.
Like, he'll hit a ball, and the words that come out before the ball even has taken trajectory is
that's
just
fun to me.
Terrific.
I enjoy cursing on the
you're immensely fun.
What was the movie with the person that had all the multiple personalities? Don't Talk to Strangers or something like that? I don't know what it was, but you have multiple personalities on the golf course, is what I'm saying.
Multiplicity?
So and there's, no, that's actually different people.
Okay. I never saw it.
Clone of people. You never saw Multiplicity?
No.
She touched my peppy, Steve.
You have to see Multiplicity.
Really? It's good?
Just for
it's
that
Batman, right?
I didn't say it was good. I said it was it's enjoyable. It's like Michael Keaton made this movie. What the hell was he thinking?
Mr. Mom. I mean, I don't know how you top that though.
I don't know how great you movie. Win Best Actor for that performance. I don't know. but nonetheless, this is Jalen Hurts is a guy that we will talk about at nauseam, really. And it's not even about not liking Jalen Hurts. It's about taking a quarterback at 53 in the draft, which I still think was stupid.
By the way, not that this was Schefter's main point in the Eagles selection of Jalen Hurts, but his point of, well, what if your quarterback catches COVID? Doesn't seem so stupid now as we're bearing down on September.
My only counter argument to it would be, yes, it is. Anyway.
Yeah. I gave that an eye roll, too. Yeah, I got to say.
I didn't.
Well, it wasn't Schefter's point.
No, it wasn't like his main point of why they took him.
No, it wasn't his point
at
all.
It was an ancillary point. Like, well, if your quarterback does get sick, it's good to have a solid backup.
It was passed on to him. He was passing something along that he was given.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mark. Yeah. What if your right guard suffers an injury in the offseason?
Like, right. It's
like, how about that? Yeah. Well, you could say that for any position.
If your aunt had balls, she'd be your uncle, Bob.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Never heard that.
This is how we break down.
Wait, you've never heard that?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh. Bob.
I used to say it to Little T when I was coaching.
My point is, when it comes to Jalen Hurts, I still won't understand taking a quarter. It's not even about Jalen Hurts.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
But I'm on my island of understanding.
Yeah.
Well, like, I get...
We're going to do this
stupid.
Again?
No, we're not going down that road.
I'm trying to stop you.
Exactly. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The bigger point is, it's not about Jalen Hurts. It's about a quarterback at 53.
Right.
All right. Now, Jalen Hurts can only do things to make me attempt to get over that a quarterback was taken there, because he could turn out to be better than Carson Wentz. He could. It can happen. And it's the NFL.
Not here.
Well, I mean, it could. Anything's possible. But nonetheless.
Right.
He could be a pretty damn good quarterback. He could somehow help this team win. He could be a feature player that comes in for a couple of gadget plays. He could come in for a couple of plays to throw the defense off, whatever it might be. He could be some great cog in the wheel to this team's success. All right, he could. It only helps him to show that he's putting in the work. And this offseason, recently, as recent as 2 days ago, DeSean Jackson posted video of him actually working out with Jalen Hurts.
Did you notice Jalen Hurts' sweatshirt? It was awesome.
I did not notice Jalen Hurts' sweatshirt.
It was I noticed the weirdest things.
It was
a black sweatshirt with just one word in white quotation marks. It said, "Nah." And then under it, from who the source was, Rosa Parks.
Wow.
And I was like, that's a good sweatshirt.
Yeah, that is.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
I'd love that to be on like a Rosa Parks statue or something like
that. Nah,
Rosa Parks. 1961. I don't know when it was. I'm sorry.
And DeSean was moving out there.
He was. And he was on the track. He showed himself on the track and he was running there. But it's just a good thing to see a quarterback like that working out. Now, here's the thing, and this is where people will get petty. And I saw our friend, I think Mike Sielski was being sarcastic about it. Does that catch Carson Wentz's attention at all? See those two working out together?
I would hope he goes, oh, that's great.
Okay, but here's my point.
But probably not.
But here's my point. A lot of people took up the argument you can't draft Jalen Hurts because it'll make Carson Wentz think. And the minute Jalen Hurts actually works out with one of his number one targets, you can't be like, oh, he doesn't think about it. Like, what the hell? That's the opposite of the argument from 3 months ago. That's the bigger point. And it's not my argument. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, hey, go ahead and sign Cam Newton. Go ahead and bring back Nick Foles. Carson Wentz, it's your job, man. You can play at an MVP level. You can be better than almost anybody they can put behind you. So that's not my argument. That's an argument that came out when they drafted him at 53.
Yeah, this whole, how does Carson Wentz feel? Nothing irritates me more in Philadelphia sports right now than the feelings of Carson Wentz and what people perceive to be. I love Carson Wentz as the quarterback. I think he's going to have a great future. I am confident that this team can do marvelous things with him. I swear to God, there's been very few. I loved Randall Cunningham watching him play. Carson Wentz is right up there. Like, I love watching Carson Wentz play. If this is a real cause of concern, of his feelings, of how it affects him in the locker room, then there's something seriously wrong with either the people that are so enamored with his feelings or with Carson Wentz in particular, that he is so soft that he can't, you know, stand this stuff.
Yeah.
Who cares? If DeSean Jackson's out catching passes from somebody, would you rather it be a high school quarterback? Like, stop.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not saying Carson Wentz is mad. Stop proposing out there that he's going to be upset because of stop with Carson Wentz's feelings. He's a football player. Go play football.
He's
Who cares about
now.
His damn feelings?
He doesn't care about that.
He said, father's making him a better leader. No more Woogies. No more. He's Woogie free.
Talk to Captain Woogie over there, Jim.
Woogie free.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not the one breaking out on the neck. I have nothing to do with that.
By the way, 1955 was the Montgomery bus boycott.
Okay. Yeah, Pat Egan just texted me that Tyrone has that same shirt.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, it's a great shirt.
Good work by you, Egan.
There we go.
Yeah.
But nonetheless.
I would love for Carson Wentz to come out and say, everybody stop about my feelings. I feel great. I am not jealous of a quarterback. I am not woogied up because they took Jalen Hurts. Don't worry about my feelings. I'm fine. I'm here to play football, and I'm going to play football.
I'm a man. I hunt.
Seriously, I am so tired of this. Oh, my God, he's got such a fragile mentality. Stop.
See, that I also hate that mindset for any athlete.
Yeah.
Another good athlete might be coming to back them up. Oh, maybe coming to take their job. Like, that should be the mindset of every athlete. I don't want any athlete on my team and any team I root for to say to themselves, oh, you know what? I'm not that good. Let this guy play. Who the hell wants that guy?
Right.
Like, nobody should want that
exactly.
guy.
Exactly.
So I look at Carson Wentz as a guy that shouldn't be looking at that. It wasn't my opinion when they drafted him at 53 during the draft itself. It's not my opinion now that you have DeSean Jackson catching passes from Jalen Hurts. It only encourages me that, oh, wow, okay, this guy, he wants to make an impact on this team in any way that he can, and he wants to be ready to set foot on that football field whenever he does get called upon.
Yeah, I don't think he would be sensitive about seeing that.
Who is that, Carson?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying. That was the argument from people.
No, I hear you.
My argument was because it was just stupid to take a quarterback there when you had other positions you could have taken.
But like, he sees that picture. I think Wentz is a good enough teammate where he goes, that's awesome.
Yeah, he's putting in work.
Deshaun's good. Learning.
My receiver's putting in work.
My backup and my basically my number one target are putting in work. Mm-hmm. That's good for the team.
Now I got to go hunt. I'm going to go
hunt. Yeah, now I'm going to go start a fire and put it out with my pee because I'm a man and I don't care about feelings.
I don't think I saw that. I don't think I saw that on the Wentz Brothers Network, whatever that is, which I still have yet to watch.
Let me field dress this elk real quick. I'll show you feelings.
I do want to watch Wentz. Like, if I watch that Meat Eater show all the time, I gotta watch.
I gotta check out Meat Eater. You really have me intrigued.
He brought it up again last night. He goes, "Are you watching Meat Eater yet?" And I was like, "No."
Well, because the one episode he's in Alaska and he's eating these fresh shrimp that he caught, and like we had the shrimp yesterday, and I was like,
"Prawns?
What?
They're prawns?
What are you talking about?
The shrimp's weird.
That's the kind of okay prawns. Yeah, so that's a
what?
That's a prawns are like a." Not
prawns
a type
shrimp.
Of shrimp. They are shrimp. Okay. Yeah.
We're like the only people in the world that call them shrimp.
Okay. Yeah. I'll stand by that. I'll die on Shrimp Hill. I don't care. I'll have shrimp all day. But anyway, they were succulent. It was like the show Meat Eater. Mm-hmm. But if the Wentz brothers have their outdoor thing, I got to watch that.
Yeah, I would watch that.
Meat Eater's on what?
Meat Eater Netflix? It's on Netflix like two seasons, and then you could also just save it into your Comcast remote, and then boom. It just pops up.
All right, I'm home alone today after work. Actually, Brett Brown is doing a conference call.
1 o'clock.
Yeah. So I'm going to get on that. But I'm going to watch me. I'm going to watch me at least an episode of Meat Eater today.
So it's like 20. It's 23 minute show.
I'm in.
It's like 20 minutes of hunting and then 3 minutes of cooking.
And I got you into Mountain Men a little bit. Did you watch it? Did you say that or no?
I seen it a little bit. You're making me want to hit the reset button and watch a little bit.
I'm telling you, it's pretty cool. Yeah. You'll like Mountain Men.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get into that conversation. Coming up a little bit later in this segment, some more developments in the Dallas Goedert punch in the face saga from South Dakota. So we'll get into that conversation in a minute. Let's get to Mike in KOP. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
What's up, buddy?
Good. Carson is soft. He's probably covered in blisters right now, freaking out. Woogie Wogowski from Princeton, New Jersey?
Yes. No, I understand that. Why do you think the guy played with a broken back? Like, why is that a soft thing?
Because he was just so, like, upset that the backup won a Super Bowl. He had to rush himself in there. But that's not why I called. I don't care.
Okay, fine.
Carson's soft. I don't care.
All right.
And Jalen Hurts was a stupid pick. But other than that, I used to work at a country club, and I didn't know it cost. I had no idea. I was, like, just a bartender. I had no idea that it cost people money to, like, bring their guests. I had no idea.
Really? Did you just find that out now?
I was like, oh, really? And then I would sit there bartending, and they'd be pissed off, as anything, at, like, 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. And now I'm just even more wondering, why do you do it? If, like, you're that angry. Like, the president of the club used to be, like, the angriest dude ever. And, like, you just... what's the point of doing this, guys? Now that you're wasting money just to do it, like, what's the point?
Well, because I got two meals out of it.
There's beauty in the challenge, Mike.
I will say the best thing about a country. I don't know if I'll ever join a country club. I can one day. Like when I'm like tired.
Yeah,
I guess
it's really on my high on my list right now. Yeah.
I'll tell you where the money I think really pays. Pays off is when you get to practice. Like, no, I'm not talking about playing golf. I'm talking about the practice, the chipping, practice at the driving range, the putting green, that whole thing. The practice that you're able to do at certain clubs is awesome.
So, I do have to say one other thing. The first time I bought my wife, like, I was trying to be like, what can I get her for, like, her birthday? And I was like, oh, well, I'll get her a gift certificate to get her hair done. And I was just like, yeah, I just said her name, and I was like, whatever she normally gets, just give me that.
How much was it, Mike?
Oh, my God. It was $250.
Yeah.
It was like,
that's about average.
Yeah. Now, how often does she go?
Like every 6 months or so.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
But still, it's like you add up all my haircuts, it doesn't come that close, like, in 6 months. So I was just like, maybe we shouldn't get married. Like, I don't know if I can.
Mike, thanks for your call, man. Good luck.
Yeah, I think haircuts and colorings and all that, on average, like $225 to $250.
Yeah,
you know, things that
plus tip.
Things that,
oh yeah,
yeah.
I want, this is different, but I once went to the pickup. She gets the cat and the stupid lion cut, where she has to go to a groomer. It's something pains me. I'm like, I'm not paying. Like alley cat's fine.
Yeah, this is a cat that you guys just kind of rescued. Like, it just showed up.
And she started getting this stupid lion cut, and it's like $100. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. So anyway, I had to pick up the cat one time, and I was supposed to tip the groomers. And I didn't realize you're supposed to tip like 20-25%. So I gave like $5.
The hell?
So, like, that's an absurd thing. So you have to tip the hairstylist, not that I know because I'm follically challenged, you know, probably $20 to $40 on top of the hairdo that you got.
Oh,
done.
Easy, yeah.
$50.
Yeah.
So you're probably looking at like a $300 styling if your wife's going.
I miss going to the barber. My barber, Al, man, he was the man.
Did he have the barber sign out front?
Damn right he did. Him and Dave, man, they're a great place.
I've had great barbers through my life.
Yeah, I do miss that about being a bald man. I miss the barbershop and all that. But I will say, when it comes to the surprise, that's what one of the things we're kicking around today, because you had to tell your wife, Jamie, how much it was to play golf.
Yeah.
And she thought it was free. And it was quite the opposite of free. So it took her back. But what are those things in a relationship, in a marriage maybe, that you didn't expect to cost a lot of money? Let's put it that way. And it's something that your significant other buys quite often, and you just don't want to know how much that one particular thing is. I'll tell you this much. One of the most shocking things of my life that would have to cost money, you know what it was? A tuxedo.
To buy?
No. to rent to be in somebody else's wedding.
It's better to just buy one because the rentals are so absurd.
Yeah. Well, that's what everyone does now anyway. They just you buy a suit.
You wear it, you wear it twice and it's paid for itself.
Yeah, it's right. For my wedding, and then that person has a suit. But the first time I got asked to be in somebody's wedding, he was like, yeah, you'll come with me to the rental place and we'll do the thing. And I was like, okay. I didn't realize I had to pay for it. I was like a junior in college and I got asked to be in a wedding and I didn't realize that it was on me.
Oh, yeah. And it's like $120.
I was like, hold on, I thought you asked me to do this. Like, what the hell's going on here? Like, I didn't decide to, like, just paid it. I didn't say a damn thing.
Yeah, in your head, you're going, what the hell?
I was like, well, lesson learned.
All right, I got a great text here.
Oh, boy.
It's from our friend Jen Fred over at Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Jen knows, she understands the ways of golf.
She's pretty cool. She goes, you guys are missing the mark on this whole golf conversation.
Why is that?
There are so many expensive things that women do that men never see. Most of the crap that you guys buy, we see. It's in the garage, it's in the backyard, etc.
Yeah.
Golf is like the one thing that you guys spend money on that we can't see. I guess, and that's how it ends. Therefore, they can't understand it.
Let's keep it that way.
Yeah, I think I shot myself in the foot last night.
Oh, we ain't going to see you no more on the golf course, basically, is the news that we're going to break to you.
Yeah.
Like, you had a good run.
Yeah, it was a good run.
You had a good run.
RIP my golf career.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975.
You mean the last drive that you'll ever have was the one that ended up, or last two, was the one that ended up in those people's front yard?
Yeah.
Did you almost hit the walkers yesterday, or was that somebody else?
That was Dan.
Oh, you okay.
It was Dan,
bounced, you're right, he did bounce in front of the people that were walking on the street.
Yeah, that was fun.
If you know what, Jamie, just be glad that on the last tee, on that par 5, you teed off like 5 times. On that one time,
he is so much fun to play with. I swear to God, he's
not,
the best.
It's not dull.
No, it's good.
Not a dull moment. 610-632-0975. We come back through the overnight. Some new developments came out on TMZ about that gutless sucker punch that happened with Dallas Goedert. So we're going to get to that story because, as you would assume, Bob, the man that ran up with the gutless sucker punch said he's justified. Said somehow, magically, the sucker punch for a guy that wasn't attacking you was justified.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
That's the way he tried to explain it. We'll give you that man's name once again and try to give you more details, at least according to him, when we come back here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
That fella that went up and sucker punched our man Dallas Goedert 2 weeks ago.
Coward.
A little bit of a big cowardly move. Says that it was out of defense of his buddies. So TMZ does what they do, and they catch up with some people. And this story came out at 12:40 a.m.
Pat and I did try to track him down.
Oh,
via the phone. It did not go well. He shut down
Hadala?
Yeah. Shut down all ways of getting in touch with him.
Well, TMZ, they got
boots on the ground.
Yeah, exactly. So TMZ caught up with him, and everyone's seen the video by now of Kyle Hadala, I believe, punching Dallas Goedert in the face. And it's a sucker punch. There's no other way to look at it. But according to TMZ, who spoke with Hadala, he says that he feels the viral video does not tell the full story of what transpired before the fateful punch was thrown on June 19th at Zubar in South Dakota. I do warn you that this story is about to get very South Dakota. All right. Hadala insists Goedert and his friends had been harassing them at a previous bar over their choice of music on the jukebox.
Hmm.
This is like something right out of what's the Roadhouse? Like,
yeah, right.
People are fighting over music on the jukebox. If that's the issue, we can move on, right? Like, I don't need to. If that's the music at the bar, I think I can go to another bar. But nonetheless, Hadala says they were extremely aggressive and disrespectful. They were shouting obscenities and all that stuff. They picked out the smaller colleague from my group. This is Hadala speaking. They picked out the smallest colleague from my group, got in his face, and made very threatening remarks toward his personal well-being, Hadala tells us. That's TMZ. Then one of Goddard's crew told my other colleague, I quote, "You're just a fat bleeping P-word, I'll beat the bleep out of you." Adal then says Dallas Goedert put his hand on his friend, which is then when he ran into the shot and punched Goedert in the face. What out of any of that actually makes any damn sense whatsoever and at all justifies running up and sucker punching somebody? When you do watch the video, Goedert puts his hand on the guy.
Yeah, it looks like he's like pushing him away, like get, yeah, you know,
or
like,
keeping him at bay. Yeah, I would say. Like, it wasn't even a push.
Like, move
it
was away, like, buddy. Yeah, move
hold
away.
Up, hold up. Where are you going?
Yeah, and plus, if he's putting his hand on that person, isn't it up to that person to decide whether or not this is escalating to the point to throw a punch? I think the person that's being like touched physically, however we interpret it, fine. But if somebody has their hand on me, I'm judging what's going to happen next.
Right.
I'm either realizing this is somebody trying to push me away, trying to be physical with me, and I respond by defending myself. It's certainly not going to be up to Bob, you, or you, Jamie, if we're out and about one day and then you guys just run up and punch somebody. There's no justification for that whatsoever.
Now, this guy shows pictures also. This Hadala shows pictures of himself with a badly bleeding head, saying that he was seriously hurt too.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably after... After the sucker punch.
After you sucker punch.
Well, the girl went after him pretty good, huh?
Well, he said, I was trying to protect my friend. That's when I was ambushed by 5 to 7 individuals. That punch kicked through beer bottles, etc., trying to cause me bodily harm, which I received medical treatment at the hospital for my injuries the very next day. So, yeah, and then he does come out in TMZ, as they also always seem to do, is get their hands on some pictures. And Hadala looks like a guy who got the crap beat out of him.
Yeah,
he looks like a guy who 5 to 7 guys try to beat the crap out of. I don't know if that happens, though, if he doesn't run into the shot and sucker punch Dallas Goedert. Is there anything that would justify that? I feel like he's completely in defense. Like, were they attacking him? Did they mean him physical harm? Did they put their hands on him? The only person that can really make that decision is the person that has a hand on him. Now, you could also argue, well, Dallas Goedert should have just got it. He's got a lot more to lose than these guys.
Yeah.
If there was something that was escalating to that point, get the hell out of there. But that's not what he did. He stayed.
And they weren't social distancing.
No masks at all.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the bigger story now. But no, you're right. There is no social distancing, and I haven't looked at South Dakota numbers and said what their green, yellow, or red phases are or anything like that.
Well, there's like 6,000 people in the state, so probably numbers are low.
Half the state was in the bar that night. But in all honesty, this guy's trying to justify it, and I still don't see any justification. And you could always say, if you're a professional athlete, forget about even that for a second. If you're a guy with a lot to lose, like Dallas Goedert is, and something like that comes up, and maybe you do go to another bar. That's one thing I will say that maybe Dallas Goedert did. Apparently, they tried to go to another bar, and things just escalated. So when you see somebody, though, despite all that, when you see somebody run into a shot and sucker punch someone when that person is not involved in the fight or any physical altercation whatsoever, it's still a punk move. Even him saying any of this, like any of his explanation, doesn't explain away or make you understand where he was coming from, because nothing justifies a sucker punch.
No. And he comes flying out of nowhere. Right. Like, you don't hit somebody when they don't see you. Like, you don't. Rule of engagement. You don't do it. And he did.
If that person has a weapon and they're approaching a friend, then maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Then maybe you exactly. Have to go to extremes.
Rules of engagement change when there's a weapon.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this guy's trying to justify running full speed right into Dallas Goedert and knocking him on the ground.
Yeah.
Knocking him out cold. And then that's when the melee ensued. And then he wants to bitch and complain about 5 other people trying to get in a fight with him. 5 to 7 other people getting in a fight when he escalated it to that point. It's indefensible, is the bottom line of all this.
And I just rewatched it, and the guy that Dallas has his hand on is pushing away isn't even, like, confrontational with him.
No.
He's just, like, kind of walking back, like, all right, yeah, I understand you're kind of trying to break this up here.
It seems like it's more...
Like, he wasn't aggressive at all, and then the douche just comes out of nowhere with a flying fist, and it looks ridiculous.
And, yeah, man, Goedert, man, he is just out.
Yeah.
It's making me relive this thing from like before we went on vacation, basically. And there's just zero. There's nothing you can say other than somebody was throwing punches at you. But even if that was the case, Dallas Goedert is not the guy throwing punches at you. he's clearly in the shot, not throwing punches.
Oh, he didn't have a chance to throw a punch.
All right, so this guy, just so you know, the guy's out there and he's trying to justify what his actions were. But as we know, right now, the more will come out when this actually goes into a hearing and all that stuff. And more will come out from there. We'll actually have documented evidence and witness testimony and all that stuff from what actually happened that night in its entirety. It just doesn't seem like you can explain to somebody, oh, this is why I totally punched that guy that wasn't looking. Like that, no, that doesn't, it's not how it works.
No.
610-632-0975. Now, speaking of tight ends, let's get to football here. And coming up at 9 o'clock today, we'll talk to our friend Adam Kaplan, Inside the Birds podcast. And he is on with our other friend, Jeff Mosher, as a matter of fact. And they were talking about tight ends in football. And this is something that we all, I think, had the same vibe on. The Eagles very rarely ever wait to see what the market dictates. The Eagles set the market in most cases.
Yeah. Dating back to Banner.
Dating back to Banner's day. Like, that's something Howie Roseman has definitely picked up.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that Banner would do very sneakily. He would do that with guys like Sheldon Brown. I remember he did that with Reggie Brown at one point, where they dangled the carrot in front and said, hey, look, you might be worth more later, or you could take this carrot right now.
Right.
You could get the money now. And Sheldon Brown wanted to rework his contract because he was the type of guy that was more or less outperforming his contract, as he thought. Even Terrell Owens, same type of deal. He thought, oh, we could get this taken care of later. They never got taken care of later.
No.
So now you have a situation where apparently, and Carson Wentz, same type of thing. They decided to jump out ahead of things and set the market with Carson Wentz before anything else escalated.
Yeah, they're not reactive.
No.
They anticipate. They don't react.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So that's why it is a little puzzling that Adam Kaplan, a guy who has been in the inner workings of the NFL for years, has come out and said that the Eagles want to extend Zach Ertz, but they're going to wait and see what happens with George Kittle and see what that deal, we'll see how that deal works itself out with the San Francisco 49ers. Kittle is about 2 years younger, almost 3 years younger, is coming off a Super Bowl appearance and back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Zach Ertz, as we all know here in Philadelphia, he ain't no slouch. He's also the favorite target of his quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Ertz is coming off of a 900-yard season and a 1,100-yard season. He has 14 touchdowns in those 2 years. We all know the value that Zach Ertz has. And we all know that, again, Carson Wentz loves, so he is the security blanket, is the term that always gets used, and it's an accurate one to use. I don't see it this way. I would be shocked if the Eagles allowed another team to dictate the market at the tight end position. That would be very much out of character of Howie Roseman and the Eagles.
Hey, it almost leads me to believe, do they have inside info that San Fran's going to underpay Kittle, and that way they can...
I know, this is weird.
Yeah, right, you're trying to justify, I understand.
But, yeah, I mean, because it's so not them, so why? There has to be more to it than just what's on the surface, right?
Yeah, and that's why Adam Kaplan, a guy who has done a great job throughout his career, is having his fingers on the pulse of what's going on in the NFL.
Oh, yeah, I 100% believe what Adam is saying, but it is a head-scratcher.
I want to know, and at 9 o'clock we'll get further justification or more of an explanation as to why he feels that
way. Yeah, Howie's specialty is, you know, cap management and kicking the can down the road and then re-guaranteeing money and shifting it around and this and that. But this one... Unless there's something we're missing with the cap down the line, because maybe they're waiting, because next year's kind of a disaster. So maybe there's a reason with that. I don't know, but it does seem very un-Eagle-like.
So going into next year, and this is where I'm trying to figure it out, right? Trying to work, work backwards.
Yeah, next year gets a little messy.
Oh, a lot messy, yeah.
but let's just say going into 2020, who's your most reliable offensive weapon?
Maybe Miles Sanders.
Maybe. No, but who do you know? Like, right now,
if you're into this money, season, it's Zach Ertz, 100%.
No, weapon of for Carson.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I
thought you meant after the year. I think Sanders could eclipse Ertz, but it's Ertz.
No,
yeah,
it's,
yeah. Right, is it really a question? No, it's not. So, does Ertz think
he can get more?
Is this information Kaplan's getting from Ertz?
Yeah,
or is it information he's getting from... Because if I'm Zach Ertz, this is my story.
Oh, if I'm... That's where it makes sense, from the Ertz camp.
Right.
But when have the Eagles...
Yeah, George, go set the market, because I'm right behind you. Yeah.
When have the Eagles ever looked at a player and been like, oh, we'll let him kind of dictate what we do here? Never!
Yeah, that's where it makes sense, is that Ertz has taken the hand back from the Eagles.
Like, look at what we've done even with Jason Peters. We're like, well, maybe if he wants to come back, he comes back, because it's really up to him. It's not even up to the Eagles, because he's best friends with the owner. That's like what we default to.
And I don't know who Ertz's agent is, but maybe that agent and Zach know the Eagles' ways well enough that they go, oh yeah, I know you guys are going to want to try and lock me up before the market value is set again. So we're good. We're going to wait until that George Kittle fella signs, and then we'll talk.
Because if anyone is going to know the Eagles, can anticipate what the Eagles do, it is going to be Zach Ertz.
He's been there
quite some time.
Eight, nine years?
8 years, yeah.
Now,
he kind of knows.
Does Ertz look at the Kittle signing and say, I'm worth more? The same? I think just around.
Probably a little less.
Or to see, like you see the guy that says, okay, he got that. Give me 500,000 more because I want to be the top paid tight end.
I don't see him being like that, but I don't know, Zach.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I would imagine he'd concede Kittle maybe getting a little more signing bonus.
29 years old.
Because he's younger,
Zach Ertz now 29 years old. He'll be 30 early in the season. I mean, October, I believe, is his birthday. Okay. October or November,
check
maybe.
It out.
But he'll be 30 during the season at some point. He knows it's football. He knows he probably doesn't want to play till he's like 34, 35 years old. I don't know. A lot of these guys seem to be retiring younger now. So when you look at a guy like Zach Ertz, is he also looking at this is my last big contract? Like, he could be one of those guys that does play and sign that big deal to play elsewhere for two more years. But I don't think he wants to leave Philadelphia. I think he wants to stay in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He's done a lot for the community here in Philadelphia. He's done tremendous work through the Ertz Foundation here in Philadelphia. But the other thing that he also has is the quarterback that you've invested a hell of a lot of money in really likes me.
Yeah.
Really, really likes me. And even other than the production, which has been pretty great, that might be the biggest bargaining chip he has. Because when you want to roll out those cliches like we even mentioned already, security blanket, favorite target, most reliable target, those are three nice things to put on with also the idea of being the quarterback's bestie.
Yeah, this is definitely coming from Ertz's camp.
Yeah, the more I'm
asked, because he knows his importance to this team, obviously.
So,
and Carson Wentz, like you just said.
So if you try to work backwards again, and you think, well, wait a minute, the Eagles never never wait for the market to be set, because that's where they're like, oh, damn it, now we got to pay this guy money.
Yeah.
Oh, man, come on. And, you know, hey, look, it's good business. They get in front of it, good for them.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's good business for the players to wait.
I have no doubt whatsoever that it's true that the Eagles want to re-sign Zach Ertz, but if you're trying to justify where the information is coming from, the information is most likely coming from Zach Ertz, because he understands that the Eagles want to bring him back. He wants to be back. He wants to sign a contract extension here. But also, Zach Ertz knows the Eagles are going to wait to see, or the Eagles want to sign him before George Kittle signs his contract. So then Zach Ertz says, not on my watch.
Yeah.
You ain't going to punk me. That's not how it's going to work here. And here's my bargaining chip. You have some question marks at wide receiver, whether or not they're going to be healthy enough. They're getting older. You have some young guys that you drafted. You don't know how they'll work out. The tight ends are pretty much where you hang your hat. Miles Sanders could be good, but he's a running back, short shelf life. I'm also the number one guy for the quarterback himself, the guy that you gave all that money to. You kind of want to make sure I'm happy.
So we just got an interesting tweet. Go ahead, Bob, and then we'll get to the tweet.
Those guys that we bring up, talk about your wide receivers, talk about your running backs, they're probably not as good if you don't have Zach Ertz in there.
Right, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's his other thing.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned wide receivers, because that's what this tweet has to do with, and it's a good point. It's from MTW6. He said, Kittle wants to get a contract that isn't tight end specific. Because you've heard him mention this in the past, where he's considers himself almost like a wide receiver tight end hybrid.
Jimmy Graham.
The way Shanahan uses him, he's basically, you know, wide receiver-ish.
Sure, yeah.
So this is, you know, he's not going to want a tight end specific contract, a.k.a. more money than tight ends are going to be getting on the market. Eagles are probably waiting because they only want to pay tight end money to Zach Ertz. So they think Kittle will eclipse the tight end boundaries by a substantial mark, and then that way maybe the Eagles can go, well, you know, he's a wide receiver for them, you're a tight end for us, you know, and try and work it that way.
I mean, it's possible, but that is, it's semantics. I mean, I'm not saying that's wrong.
Yeah, but George Kittle will set a new market for tight ends And he's more than a tight, like, it's, yeah, it's a weird, yeah, he is a hybrid.
I mean, let's not forget for a second that Jimmy Graham wanted to be paid as a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And you know when the Saints were negotiating that, they're saying, well, wait a minute, on your Twitter profile, it says you're a tight end.
Yeah, I remember
like,
that.
That's how petty it got. And it is semantics because it's all about what the player believes. And that's why Jimmy Graham ended up going to, what, Seattle it was right mm-hmm. out of the game?
And after Seattle. More or less was never the same.
No, he wasn't.
Right, no.
And to the Saints' credit for that, he was never the same. He had, I think, one good year in Seattle, and then he started to see the downward trend, mm-hmm. was in Green Bay. And I forget where he is now because he's on a different team now.
I thought the last one he was at was Green Bay.
It was the last one he was at Green Bay. But
I had him on my team.
He went somewhere else.
That's what I do. I get guys that are on the decline.
He's with... The Bears.
Is it the Bears? Oh, the Bears now.
Okay, yeah.
But nonetheless, I understand that tight ends are going to want more if they play more of the wide receiver
position. But I think Kittle's the first guy that might have a real shot at it.
Sure, because he's still only 27 years old.
Yeah, and San Fran has, you know, crazy amounts of money left. They realize how important he is.
Or he'll be 27 during the season.
Yeah, he's still pretty young.
So he's still young. But what I'm saying is the Eagles are... I'm going to go ahead and just assume that the Eagles are going to go down the usual path that they go down, which is... We'll tell you what you're doing. All right. And it's going to be, well, you're not a wide receiver. You're part of our two tight end set. So
yeah.
I can understand. I understand what he's saying on Twitter there, but I also think it comes down to the Eagles as semantics. Not saying that that's the way it should be. I mean, Kittle is more of a guy that is a hybrid more so than Zach Ertz is. But if you're talking about trying to set the market, still usually that's what the Eagles do. So why would the Eagles waiting to set the market, why would that benefit the Eagles? It wouldn't. Why would they be waiting for George Kittle?
Yeah, it wouldn't benefit the Eagles. No, it benefits
that's the question.
One person in particular.
Exactly. So that's why I still think it comes down to Zach Ertz.
His numbers, my God. I just did the last 5 years. Oh, how many catches do you think he averages a year over the last five?
He's Canton bound.
Yeah.
He's 86, 914 yards. These are just averages and has close to six touchdowns a year. You're right. He is kind of Canton-ish.
Yeah. You could talk about him as potential Hall of Fame. You could talk about Jason Kelce, potential Hall of Fame.
Last year's roster. Jason Peters, Jason Kelce, Zach Ertz. You might be able, if injuries
Darren Sproles,
didn't... If injuries didn't derail Brandon Brooks, I mean, he was on a trajectory. And Fletcher Cox. You potentially had five or six Hall of Fame players on that roster last year.
Mm-hmm. All right,
it's incredible.
We'll continue that conversation because it's a good one to get into. And Adam Kaplan will join us coming up at 9 o'clock today to explain where this might be coming from, how this would work out. We'll get all that. But one thing we haven't addressed so far today is, Pat Eakin has been doing a great job with us with social media. He's obviously been doing the updates with Crystal Rich in the last 2 days for a little guest appearance from Crystal. We appreciate that. We tried to do a teaser before every show. And Jamie had the teaser today.
Yeah. Not really. I didn't really have a choice in the matter.
What was this? What do you mean? Is Egan your boss? You tell him what's what.
He just started recording as I was like, get away from me. Get away. No, I'm not doing it. And he was recording the entire time.
Did you happen to mention that we had like Adam Kaplan on at 9 o'clock today?
Yeah, it came up.
That was the only thing that came up. Yeah.
And he's like, Jamie, why don't you tell the people about 9 a.m. when Adam Kaplan's going to join the show? And I was like, yeah, that's happening.
Yeah. And it's funny because... of the four of us, like you and I, Mark, are usually pretty alive when we get here.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, we're okay. We don't need our first. You do your espresso at home, I believe, whatever. Wake up and I'm ready to go. That's just my personality.
I got to ramp up here.
These two numbnuts, like they come in and they are. They could be like, get away from me. I just don't want to talk. I'm too tired. So the fact that Egan was the one who's more grumpy than anyone in the morning usually goes up to Jamie and Jamie gave him the blow off. It was great.
Yeah,
great video.
I wasn't having it.
I even went to Egan and I said, dude, if you want to do a follow-up, we can do like a Wake Bob Cooney. He's like, no, this will stand
by itself.
No,
the people need to know.
I said, okay.
The people need to know.
Okay.
That was Pat yesterday. He was a walking zombie. I didn't shove a camera in his face, did I?
You could have, though, and I would have done it because it's the better end of the show.
Good for you, Pat. Thank you very much. You understand Jamie's mindset, though, that he kind of needs to, I don't want to say like you're not fraud. I'm just saying you need to get in character for the day.
Yeah, when the light goes on, I'll be awake and alive. But, you know, I need my ramp up.
Apparently not. It went on. Egan's light on his phone was on.
That's not the light I'm talking about, Bob.
Are you comparing yourself to Mickey Mantle right now?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll be good to go once they say play ball. I'm all right.
No, it's like if you ever meet a comedian. Like, Gilbert Gottfried's been in here before.
All right.
And off air, he is not the Gilbert Gottfried you see on stage.
He's pretty boring.
yeah, he's incredibly quiet and just kind of like to himself. And yeah. then the red light goes, and I'm not comparing myself to a comedian.
Sounds like
but,
it.
But yeah, before the show, when I haven't had my coffee.
Right.
I'm not myself.
I hate that excuse.
Well, I haven't had my coffee.
Like, as somebody that doesn't drink coffee. As if
I'm sitting here with a La Colombe coffee in my hand.
It's a cold coffee.
We're acting like coffee's cocaine all of a sudden. Like you drink, you're like, all right, what's going on, morning show?
Patty,
yeah, where are you going?
There's kids listening.
Well, I'm saying don't do it.
That brings me to my next point. Kids, don't smoke crack.
Yeah. I'm not kids, condoning. If you want to be awake, try cocaine. No, but don't do it.
I'm not condoning it.
What movie?
Honey, you were.
What?
What movie?
Well, I didn't hear the line.
That brings me to my next point, kids. Don't smoke crack.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come on, Bob.
It's from a Hall of Famer.
I'll tell you right now. I may have seen it, but I don't retain as well as you guys.
Bob, I believe yesterday we actually. No, never mind.
It was Billy Zane in Titanic.
Yeah, Billy Zane says it to Kate Winslet when.
It's Lawrence Taylor, Bob, in The Waterboy. American cinema classic.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I believe it's The Waterboy. But let's not get particular here. So that's on social media if you guys want to.
He was miserable. I thought he would actually
I thought he was going to break out of it.
When I told him I'm filming, I thought he was going to be like, all right.
And he said, I don't care.
And he just, it was like National Geographic when they catch, you know, the animals in the wild. Just roaming the plains. That's what Jamie was like.
It was like.
I didn't want to do it.
Pat, what's something your wife buys that you don't know how much it is? It's a fun little side topic.
And maybe it might not be a necessity.
No, I'm not saying it's not a necessity.
It's not a necessity.
I just posed a question off air and I won't say it on air.
It's a necessity. I just posed a question
because Jamie, I was trying to be a foxhole guy for Jamie.
Oh, that's good.
Trying to give him ammunition.
Jamie told his wife, you failed miserably.
I know.
Jamie told his wife how much it cost to be a guest at a club, and yeah. her brain exploded.
She also didn't know that cart fees were a thing. And she was like, what? They charge you for carts? That's despicable. And I was like, well, I kind of get your point.
Have you ever done Addie's voice to Addie? And yeah. Does she approve?
Yeah.
Okay.
She laughs when I mock her, because I'm an idiot. She's probably laughing more at me than with me.
I would say that would be accurate.
Yeah.
All right, well... When we come back, we're going to reset our Twitter poll today because I hope it's changed to be more optimistic about whether or not the NBA is going to crown a 2019-2020 champion.
Yeah, I was shocked at this, Mark.
We're going to have to go back and look at that because Adam Silver, and I give him credit, he's been a realist throughout this entire process, was the absolute realist yesterday. We'll actually hear what Adam Silver had to say about full steam ahead NBA. And will they shut down if they get too many coronavirus cases in the league? Time at the Fanatic is 7:51.
97.5 The Fanatic.
In case you missed it earlier, yes, I don't know what you're doing today to celebrate Bobby Bonilla Day, but hopefully it's something fun. Hopefully it's something festive. Maybe instead of getting $1.19 million, maybe you give yourself like $1.19. I don't know. Maybe you just spend frivolously.
Yeah.
It's not a bad gig.
Take the check, go to the drive-thru, sign, and just see what happens.
Bobby Bonilla shows up at the mailbox today. He gets a check for $1.19 million, 1.2 for all intents and purposes. And does what he wants, and he'll get that until he's 72 years old. He is 57 right now.
I thought Bobby Bonilla would be a little older.
He's been getting this check since, I think, 06.
Yeah.
He last played in 01.
Why would the Mets do that?
There's a tie-in to Bernie Madoff in this. So I wish I knew like the greater details.
Egan came running in. I think he knows the details.
I love
Egan,
this story.
Also, Patty baseball.
I love this story.
Egan actually gave all his magnet money to Bernie Madoff.
That's not true. That's not true. He was a pioneer.
Go ahead. What is it?
Basically, so they used the Bernie Madoff system, like his analysts.
Okay.
And the analyst told Steve Phillips that they would actually make more money on this deal in the long run if they just deferred the payment, because I think they wanted to sign somebody else.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.